out there, you are listening to the Kingdom Living Podcast, where we'll talk about faith, purpose, and societal issues from a kingdom perspective. You are joining us again, and we are on it. We are on the, I think it is already the fifth episode of the Chosen Gen series, and God has been faithful. He has been using inspiring people to bless our listeners, to bless us. We just thank God for what He has been doing so far. Today we have another inspiring, so inspiring guest. I would just like to give a brief introduction of him. He talks about grace, he talks about goodness, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. I am coming to spread this love and testify of things that I can't deny. That is a line in Abhishek's latest song release, Reasons to Praise. And we are happy to have him. Talk about it today, talk about himself, talk about how he encountered God, and also talk about the ministry of reconciliation, which is the topic of the Chosen Gen series. So I would like to invite Abhishek to present himself, to just allow us understand what he is doing currently. Hi Abhishek, welcome.
Thank you so much, it's a pleasure to be here. I guess we're gonna do some talking today.
Would you like to say some few words about yourself, what you're doing currently? You've already said you're currently in a Bible school, your master's, and you've also done other things. You're also a musician, you write, you preach. Would you like to say more about that?
Of course. I'm Abhishek Gladwin. I was born in India, and when I was 4 years old, my parents had moved to Guinea, West Africa, due to work purposes. And that's where I kind of spent most of my life growing up, you know, going to school and even completing high school. So you can say I almost have an African soul. And I graduated from college with a BBA degree in business and international management. And recently the Lord has called me into ministry. And so now I'm currently in my last year of theological studies in this beautiful city of Bonn in Germany, also by serving in various churches. And I must say the Lord has also given me grace to lead worship, and so that's something I've been doing as a worship leader for about a year now, and it's honestly a journey that I love.
Thank you so much. It's a journey that you love. I believe also God loves seeing it. So I'm very curious because you said like at the age of 4 you moved to Guinea, right? So you basically grew up there. Right. I'm just wondering how you encountered Jesus by then, because also your background in India, your family background, have you always been like, did you grow up in a Christian family, or have you been more or less outside Christianity and then somehow God got you at the point?
I mean, it's something that, you know, it's a curiosity that comes up, you know, like you're in India and how the heck are you maybe a Christian? And I must say it's a testimony of mine that I don't have this phase of my life where I would say I was this and then Christ made me this. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents are Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. My grandparents are Christians. And I gave my life to Christ at the age of 9. And I must say my parents have also been a huge blessing in my spiritual growth and this coverage and this safe place for me to truly develop myself in that regard. So yeah, it's one thing I really thank the Lord for. I got to know Him at such a young age.
Awesome. How would you describe, like, you got to know Him at such a young age? What does it mean?
Knowing God at such a young age, I believe my mind, as well as anyone's mind, is most fragile and it's most receptive when they are so young. So, like, if they are presented already with the truth, it will be much easier to hold on to that truth other than that person growing up a certain number of years, you know, having already that basic ideology that could be false or wrong. It'll be much harder to bring Christ to them at a later age. But now me having such a weak and receptive and sponge-like brain, I could already know the basics of, you know, what is the true faith? What is the truth about everything that goes on? What is the truth about eternity? What is the truth about Jesus, about God? Who are we? What are we? Where are we going? All these questions were slowly presented to me already. And I only gave my life to Christ at 9, but I was already taught a lot of these things from an early on period of my life, like I guess 5, 6 already. So,
wow.
Ever since I could start speaking.
Amen. Ever since you started speaking, wow, okay. Yeah, that's what many people are giving us, you know. how God actually, like, how they encountered God and Christ, how they decided to follow Christ. So, like, many have been given this privilege, we can say, sort of spiritual privilege, and then others know. And that is the main topic of the Chosen Gen
right.
series
yeah.
this year. It is really not about mm-hmm. those that are already reconciled through birth, through family background, you know, to God, but those, to meet those where those people that have not received Him yet, to reconcile them back to God.
Right.
And definitely that comes with difficulty, and also that comes with creativity. Of the side, from the side of those that have to, you know, reconcile them, of the believers. So we are
right.
talking about 2 Corinthians 5:18, where it says that all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And I guess the ministry of reconciliation, you were talking about, you got called to ministry. So basically, that's it.
Right.
Like, you are called to reconcile others to God. Would you like to share a bit what you understand? Like, what is the meaning of ministry of reconciliation? How do we do this?
I'd like to make this simple for us and try to make it short.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I believe, you know, this, the whole story that we have to share is the gospel. And this is the whole story. The story of our Father brings His children back to Him, and how we as humans, you know, while on our way to eternal destruction, we're saved. When we're talking about reconciliation, it's as if you're saying, you know, we lost something, or we became something, or we did something that was opposing something else, or rather someone else, and now we're back together again. And the beautiful thing is that this story of reconciliation has one title. It has only one name, and that name is Jesus.
Amen.
And what He did for us as He died for our sins and brought us back to the Father. Now, that was Jesus' part. Still, we have the part to play in all of this. And, you know, when we look at perhaps 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, I want to go a little bit down so we get a good or better context of what he says. That is, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And I really love verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Him. You know, Paul is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Ever since he met with Jesus, he was constantly in the business of either letting other people know about Christ or encouraging those who already believed in Christ. And as you read other epistles that he wrote, in some areas you will see that he was a man who had a burden for others. You know, he would pray for people, he would pray for the people he was writing to, you know, and he sometimes would write, "I pray that your faith may be strong," in some epistles. And it is the same burden that applies here, to reconcile us to God through Jesus Christ. And so people need to know about this Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Now, let me put you in this context right here. The main axis of everything he wishes to say is at the end of verse 19, the word of reconciliation. You can say, in other words, the word of the cross, the preaching of the cross. And with God's grace today, we have many methods to share this message. I mean, what we're doing right now is another means of spreading this message of the cross across the world through our ministries, whether it's, you know, one of counseling sessions, or by sermons, or by outdoor preaching, letters, social media posts, worship, you name it. All of these things contribute to that. And now, speaking of the message and the ministry of the cross, I'm constantly reminded of verse 20, where he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. I like to think that we're also stewards of Christ. Now, what is a steward, per se? Let's use some simple term. We're managers. God owns everything on this earth. And I remember in Psalm 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein." right? And so God is the owner, not us. And when we look back, even in the Garden of Eden, man was set not only in the garden to enjoy it, but also to take care of it. You know, he was the manager of that garden. In the same way, we are managers of things and the people, more importantly, on earth, in our own time.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just say this one more thing?
Yes, please.
I remember the story of the talents. And that's one thing that's really vivid right now. You know, to one, the master gave 5 talents. Then to the other, he gave 2. And then to a third, he gave only 1. Now, the first two, they made profit with their talents. And when the master returned, what happened? He was pleased. Mm-hmm. He's like, well done.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were faithful with what they were given. But the third, what did he do? He chose to do nothing with his talent. Mm-hmm. But instead, he went and hid it. And the master despised him for it. And so in this day and age, God has given all of us talents.
Mm-hmm.
To some, he would have given 5.
Mm-hmm.
To some, he would have given 2. And to some, maybe a few, he has given just 1 talent. But, you know, it's never about how much he has given to us, mm-hmm. but it's what we do with what we have. And so you as a manager, how faithful will you be with what the master has given you?
Mm-hmm.
How faithful will we be as stewards on earth with what the master has entrusted to us?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have only 5 talents. While others have maybe 10, 20, 30, that's them.
Yeah.
But this is our own lane. That's their own journey, but this is about us. It's okay to just have 1 talent, but let's make use of that 1 talent that we have. Mm. Let us invest wholeheartedly in it, whether it's in counseling, whether you know, it's talking to a suicidal person, helping them to find hope again, and a new hope, you know, and a new life, and a new something to look forward to, whether it's praying for others as we intercede for their needs, you know, whether it's advising people, or whether it's being that's nothing big, that simple usher who would help an old lady, you know, go and take her seat or find something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The things that God has given us, he has entrusted to us. And as a manager in this whole ministry of preaching of the gospel in our various ways, in our diverse ways, how faithful will we be as a steward? And that's the main question here.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a great question. How faithful will we be actually with the talents that God has given to us? Even though it's just one, you know, we are a bit hesitant sometimes. Like, we ask ourselves, okay, what should I do? Meanwhile, God sometimes already speaks clearly, you know. To us, he speaks and says, hey, this is what I've given to you. Go ahead. It's not always easy. And through your life, I would really want our listeners, and also I would really want to know how you can say, okay, identify it, and then you go ahead. We understand that we have this thing called the Ministry of Reconciliation. We have to share the word of God, which is the ministry of the word, sharing the gospel to others. And God has given us talents, and some have many. Some can use their many talents to call multitudes. Meanwhile, God may have just entrusted 1 talent to 1 person. And he wants us to invest in it, right? He wants us to use it. You mentioned if it's counseling, if it's writing, if it's just speaking to people, then we should really do it. And you said recently, like, you got called to ministry. When was that? And how did you feel? Like, when did you start then? Like, you know what I mean? Like, did you just, okay, God, I'm going for it? Or were you a bit hesitant? Like, several of us are.
Right. And that's a very good question. And thank you for that. The thing is, the way I even understood that I was called into worship was not something that just happened overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a constant process, because when we were playing in our church bands, for example, or when we gave special song contributions, there was something that just felt natural about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not just something I knew, but it's something that other people told me as well. You know, because that's how funny God is sometimes. God has humor. When he is calling us to a certain field, to a certain ministry, he would often hint, he would give like good moments here and there and make your curiosity turn in that direction. So for example, I'll just give you a plain one. One Sunday you could be playing and the Spirit of God is just moving, you know, people are repenting, newcomers who come into the building feel the presence of God and they're infected by it, I can say. But then another Sunday, everything's really normal. You're like, this doesn't feel like last Sunday. And then another Sunday again, it happens again. Like, because of your ministry, with the way the Holy Spirit is using you, it will happen again. And so God sometimes would hint at us, saying, okay, there's something I want to use you for in this field. And some people would also come up to you and say, hey, listen, you know, God has really blessed me through, you know, your ministry today in the worship. Thank you so much for that. That could be another proof, like God has really called us to this. And of course, let us not forget, we also need to pray about it. And that's something that helped me. I was constantly like, okay, God, I feel it, but I want to know if it is what you're calling me to. And so music has been a big part of my life. You know, ever since I was 9 years old, I was privileged to start playing in church bands. And I started in my home church in Guinea. And it just grew on me, you know. I've been doing it my whole life ever since then. But the time I actually started leading worship for the first time was 2 years ago when I was in my first Bible school at the European Theological Seminary. Shout out to them. it was here in Germany. And so ever since then, worship was a ministry that God wanted to use me in. Not because, or should I say, not only because I loved it, but I've also understood so much about the power of worship and what it can do in a person's life. And so I started leading worship in chapel services and little devotion times here and there. And so that transition from being led in worship to now leading worship took a lot of training and realization that I now have a responsibility of helping people, not just in church settings, but anywhere I go, you know, to lead them into a deeper experience of the presence of God. Because the one thing I will say is every prayer, should I say it this way? Every song that we sing is a prayer. And every prayer is a message. And when I finally understood that, it just gave me a whole different perspective of my ministry, like why and what I'm doing.
Every song that we sing is a prayer, and every prayer is a message. Every worship song, definitely, yes, it's yeah, we're talking in the context of worship and also praise, you know, glorifying God, songs that glorify God, obviously. And that really that is a prayer, and that every prayer, I like the way you termed it, every prayer is a message. And so literally that's what your song is also about. Like, you are singing, you are worshiping, and you recently released the song called Reasons to Praise.
Exactly.
Basically you are also sending a message out there. And you know what I wonder is, you are definitely directing this message to someone, to an audience. Not all audience are the same. So I would like to really know, to whom do you feel assigned to in this context? When you're called to, you know, worship and glorify God, reconcile all this to God.
That answer is really easy. It's the youth. Through many personal experiences, I have seen just how fragile and important the young generation is. And if there's one target that the devil has, it's the young people, because this specific phase of their lives will determine how and who they end up becoming. And I feel so led to stand with the same people and show them that, you know, they're not alone in their experiences, whatever it may be. Because, you know, sometimes when you've experienced so much in life, when you've seen so much, so many things that you can't deny, as I say in the song, because you would not want anyone to go through the same pain, that's what pushes you to have compassion over them. And when you truly understand their anguish, their anxieties, you know, the doubts that they could have, because you've been through all of that, it makes it a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also recently started a youth group in my church. We're called the Brooks. And one thing we have as a motto is win one and make one. And another thing we do is like we go on hikes every Saturday, every single Saturday. It's our common thing now. And we use this opportunity to talk to young people, you know, to go out there, sit down, sing songs, share a message or two.
Yeah.
And we would, funny enough, often find young and old people joining us. You know, that's kind of what I wanted to do, even through this song, sharing a truth, but in a catchy way,
yeah,
if you want to call it that way.
Related to that, you have created, you formed a youth group in your church, and you are winning together people for Christ. You are not only doing it because you just like doing it, but really because you have compassion for the youth and you know what they experience because you are part of them, you know. Chosen Gen, the title is also because Osasa and I, we also have this passion for the youth. We also see the how fragile, as you described, they are. Like, they are susceptible to everything, like to the influences of this world, like to social media, but also to the things that they see, to the things that they experience. And that will, in the end, determine whether they are going the right path or they will just continue falling. And that is sad if they don't know the truth. Because the truth will define their identity, not what they see, not their surroundings. And bringing them the truth, which is Jesus Christ, the gospel, will really enable everyone to have a foundation, a grounded identity. And I think I can also talk from my own experience. Like, it's when you know who you are in Christ, no matter what you're going through, no matter whether you are facing difficulties, no matter whether you are grieving, you will always have that firm foundation. You will always know that, hey, I'm not alone. God is there, and I know who I am in Him. Relationship will not determine you. Other people will not determine who you are. So basically, thank you so much. And I just pray God continues to empower you in this regard, to continue bringing people to the knowledge, the youth to the knowledge of Christ. And you have already answered the next question that I would have asked, which is how they relate to your past. It's not even your past, it's your current, it's your present, you know, it's who you are. You are part of the youth, and you reach out to them through songs, through words that will encourage them. And you also mentioned preaching is one thing you do. And I would really, like to know, first of all, how do you do it? How do you feel when you preach, and how do you get inspired?
You know, it's always funny whenever somebody, when you're trying to figure out how exactly you're going to do one thing, but then somebody asks you exactly how you do that thing, it's just another whole different level. You know, preaching is also something that recently started. It's been about a year. And at first I used to do only devotions. So let's say 15, 20 minute devotions. And even those would be really, really nerve-wracking sometimes. But, you know, God has been gracious. And in fact, I really, first of all, wanted to understand if preaching was my thing. Because I always felt so connected to worship that when I also understood that there was this other side of me that was also tilting towards preaching, I got a bit confused. I was like, okay, God, how exactly am I going to do this? So is it worship or is it preaching? And after much prayer, I finally found out that God was clearly speaking to me. It's not going to be only worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only going to be preaching either. It's hand in hand. They go together. And so it's almost as if you're saying, when I'm leading worship, after that's done, drop your guitar or drop your piano, pick up your Bible and preach. And it's come a long way from that revelation. And one thing that really helped me was, you know, looking to other people who have more experience in this, you know, more spiritual experience in this. How do they do it? And understanding how they preach, understanding structure. And of course, there's a lot of research that goes into it. So if there's, of course, we know the term exegesis. So when you're taking verse, how do you dive into that verse? What are the other connections in the Bible about that verse? What are the life stories that you could bring out? What is, of course, research is one part of it, but then delivery is the other thing. So, of course, you might have a great message, but that art of conveying what you have in your heart, that idea into other people's minds, that will take a little bit of practice. But over time, what I've truly understood is when we're truly having a relationship with the one source of all messages, which
Amen.
is the Word of God right here, we don't need to think about any other story. We don't need to think about any other message because this is the message and everything we need. Even more than that, what I've also come to realize is a prepared man or woman is much better than a prepared message. Because there comes a time where you would have everything prepared, like a few times for me. But then when you look at audience, when you look at who you're talking to, that message would seem so irrelevant and the Holy Spirit will be telling something else. You'll say, I want you to speak about this. And so what will you do in that sense is the other challenge. And so there's so many things that I'm right now discovering. And even during this making this podcast, sitting and talking with you is the other. I believe there are things that the Holy Spirit lays in your heart 1 week in advance. And I think there are other things that the Holy Spirit will tell you at that moment. But when you have a relationship with that Holy Spirit, it's all easy.
Awesome. Thank you so much. One thing I'm taking out of this, what you just described, is that really we have to allow God to, first of all, we have to be prepared ourselves, like the person, prepare the person. Like we have to allow God and prepare us as well. That is better than the message that we have prepared. And I just wondered, this question was I was never going to ask it, but as you also said, like it is really the Holy Spirit that would take over and that the Holy Spirit would then lead. And so the question I'm just asking is how do we prepare ourselves for it?
By that, you mean how do we prepare ourselves or ourselves for the Holy Spirit to lead us?
Yeah, because you say like a prepared person, you know, is better than a prepared message. How can a person be prepared?
I don't speak as a guru. I don't speak as
Yeah.
somebody who is all-knowing here, but I will speak as someone who has gone through something that has worked for him. I can summarize everything in just one. Never sacrifice your altar for a stage or a pulpit. Because when you have that certain relationship with God, when communing with God, when fellowship with God becomes your glass of water every day, when it becomes like breathing, it is effortless for the Holy Spirit to use this because God will now know He can use you as a vessel. And I think there is no phase of actually being like, okay, I was unprepared before, but now, Holy Spirit, I'm ready for you to use me. Like, you will not put yourself in that situation. Of course, it may happen. I'm not saying it will not happen, but that's what Apostle Paul says, be ready in season and out of season because you just don't know when it's going to happen. And
Amen.
so one big thing is when we have that fire that is kept at the altar, when we keep on purging that lifestyle, when we keep up with having that relationship with the Holy Spirit, when the vessel is ready to be used, that's when, whether we know it or not, God will just use us, and we wouldn't even know that God has used us sometimes. We wouldn't even know that the simple conversations that we were having, God was actually using us to speak to someone. A lot of times people would think, oh, the message that God will give to me is going to be from a pastor on a pulpit standing in this huge stadium. But no, it could literally be the barista that comes to give you your, morning coffee, or the maid that comes, or the janitor, whoever it may be. If it is led by the Holy Spirit, if that person is ready, if the person has that deep fellowship with the Holy Spirit, ready or not, here he comes.
There's this sound.
That's what it is.
That's also another line of a song. Ready or not, here we come. We are coming. Ready or not, and indeed, to everyone that wants to really start something for God, Allow God to prepare you, to make you, and let God do it. And I think what I draw from your message right now is that really it is something that will come from out of an overflow of his dwelling, like dwelling in his presence. Because maybe it is really that communing with God that every other thing from there will flow. And we don't have to do anything. We don't have to force anything. We don't have to be on stage for anyone or just to preach without receiving actually or without God taking us there. So, and that will make it, easier to share the word, to do whatsoever God has called us to do, and to also be ready for it. Because in the secret place, it is more than even that. Like, I think the story of David is very pertinent in this case. You know, David was already fighting against lions and everything. And I think Goliath was nothing for David because lion is greater than Goliath.
Yeah.
And more dangerous, right?
I loved it. Yeah.
So basically, sometimes in our sacred place, we need to know that we have had a lion before. And that the demonstration of that lion or the things God wants us to do out there is just a Goliath. So it's not more than a lion. So basically, if we just allow God to do it, he will prepare us. And I pray he continues to prepare us for the things that he wants to do in this generation, in Jesus' name. Well, we continue. You've talked about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit has also been leading you. Would you like to talk more about the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit help you and lead you in your ministry, especially when you face challenges?
You know, I've been on a roller coaster with the relationship with the Holy Spirit, and it took time. I'm not speaking here as if I just, you know, everything was perfect. I had so much self-development to do, and a lot of character development to do, a lot of, you know, self-denial, a lot of crucifying of the flesh, so many things, so much sacrifice that I had to do it, and I'm still doing even today. For me, the Holy Spirit really is most sensitive, and I sense him even more when I worship. And it only confirms, you know, my calling even more. You know, after everything that I've said, it's more proof that, okay, this is the direction God is bringing me in. And what the Lord is really working in my heart is, how do I use you in the domain of worship to let my spirit flow, you know? And oftentimes, I'll just give you a quick example to kind of summarize, I would say. And a lot of times when, after everything I've been through in life, through so many ups and downs, it's a roller coaster. At times when I think that everything is bad in my life and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, when I just can't escape from that pit, I start to sometimes doubt, is God really with me? Is it really working? Is this God? Is this me? Or is it the devil? I don't know. Yeah, you know, and you mentioned David, and this is one of the main reasons I love David. You know, character development for me has been a great big issue, and the Holy Spirit has helped me so much, because I used to think that whatever tribulation I go through, whatever trial, whatever circumstance that I'm in, maybe it's God just, you know, denying me or that is offended at me. But what I realized, for example, even Joseph, when he was set in prison, you know, he had a promise. He knew the dream and he was going for the dream, but then everything that was happening around him seemed completely different. Like there was nothing compared to the dream he was having. Like everything that should have taken place is not taking place. And then it was so easy for Joseph to have given up on that dream.
True.
But he was in Potiphar's house. He was already solo, that was the first thing. Now he's in Potiphar's house, and then he's imprisoned. And he spends a little bit of time in that prison. A lot of people would say, oh, he was thrown into prison.
Yeah.
He was cast out into prison. But the way I thought of it once was, what if God did not throw Joseph into prison, but he hid and kept Joseph in prison. Like, what was in that prison that Joseph had to learn? What was in that trial? What was in that circumstance that Joseph had to allow to build his character, to build a deeper relationship, to build a greater faith in God? And these are some of the things that I got a revelation, or got as a revelation. And so the deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit is how he helps me is to realize that, hey, even biblical characters have gone through the same thing. And there are many people with their own stories, many people with their own paths of life who have gone through even worse. But when you realize that all these things work together for your good,
amen,
even the circumstance that you're going through right now, whether how good or how bad, it still brings out the purpose that I have for you. And so that applies for everyone. You know, whatever we go through, we think we are cast out, but even that suffering is a lesson. Even that success is a proof that you have to be more dependent on God.
Amen.
So that is, you know, simply put, in worship, how I've seen people's lives changed.
Mm-hmm.
And how I know that even what I go through, other people have indeed gone through it, even in the Bible, and I've seen the outcome.
Amen.
Yeah, just knowing that I'm not alone, and of course, after building that relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's
awesome.
He fills us, and he comforts us, and he restores our peace, so,
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that, and for being, open to us in that regard,
mm-hmm.
and indeed, God and the Holy Spirit, through His Holy Spirit in us, is really developing us. He's developing our character. He's causing us to deny ourselves. He's causing us to sacrifice our flesh and everything. And it's not easy. Sometimes it's like the pruning stage can be very difficult sometimes. And what we may want to do is just give up and surrender and say, no, I'm not going anymore. I don't want anymore. But what he's basically doing is really to bring the perfect person out of us, to make us perfect in Christ, because Christ is
right.
Who we are supposed to be like. And therefore, he will prune and he will do everything to make us presentable. And you have mentioned character development is a crucial aspect, and character development is very linked to the fruits of the Holy Spirit, I guess, because that is according to Galatians 5, right? Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And all this, against such there is no law. So basically, we cannot perform it by ourselves. It is the Holy Spirit that helps us to become and to develop those fruits. And so in each of every one of us is working out those fruits. And I would really love to know from you, which of those fruits have been probably very helpful for you in your ministry?
The thought just came to mind.
Yeah.
I think it was, you know, long-suffering patience. Because right now in my church, throughout my worship ministry so far in just 1 year, I was graced to also play in other bands. I saw how, you know, how good they are. We have all the systems. We have all the microphones, the metronome, the in-ears, all these different equipment.
Yeah.
And now God has brought me to this small church with instrumentalists or musicians who don't know about a metronome. They don't know about in-ears. You know, it's like a whole different side of what I used to experience. And so it's so easy for me to just go, you know, God, I have such a confusion right now. I don't know why you brought me out of this place where I had everything was so good. And now, why did you bring me to this little church with this specific people? Like, why? And in the beginning, I was always just asking, I'm like, why? But through that, I learned patience. And I learned to love the church. You know, that's the beauty of the body of Christ. Like, God is not only using the professional, but God is also using the beginner in their own way. And when you finally have that different switch in perspective, when you... or when I saw it, rather, speaking for myself, when I saw the shift of how God is using both small and great to establish his kingdom, it allowed me to love the church even more. And, you know, you just keep on coming. Like, you keep on attending, you keep on going, and you have more patience, and you keep on working them.
Yeah.
Who knows what God wants to start
exactly.
in their lives? Who knows why God placed you there? Who knows why God placed you in, or took you from your experience from this big arena now to this small church? What
exactly.
goal does God want to achieve through that? And so when you realize that there is an eternal perspective, and when I realized it, it eventually gave me a little bit of patience. So in my worship ministry so far, that's the one thing that I've really learned. And I wasn't patient before. I would want everything like fast food, like give it to me. Like, let's do, okay, if it's not good, no, okay, let's change it. But no, God has worked on that, and I'm so grateful
Amen.
To God for that. And just teaching me that, hey, small and great, you know, you give back what you received from him.
Mm.
And that's what I'm doing right now.
Amen. Thank you. That's a good conclusion. You give back what you receive from him. And God has been really patient with us. He's really patient with us and whatsoever. Like, we keep doing the same thing and he's being patient. And he has given us freely, so we are also giving it freely by God's grace. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, even though sometimes it may be difficult. Any last word, Abhishek, that you would like to give to any, to our listeners, just to conclude today's episode?
I will say one thing that is constantly my life prayer to every one of them listening. We're not perfect. We still have a lot of work to do. But that is the beauty of how God works in our lives. And my prayer for everyone is that wherever we go, as we live with the Holy Spirit, as we live doing the ministry of reconciliation, as we live preaching the gospel,
mm-hmm.
is that our lives may truly show the power, the love, and the proof of the existence of Jesus wherever we go.
Amen.
That's simple prayer.
Amen. And I say amen to that. And I pray that God will continue to God will continue to strengthen you, and he'll continue to use you to bless the people around you, to bless the youth, to bless this generation, because we really need you. And we need everyone out there that have been gifted, that are given the gift to go out and to share the gospel. And do not keep it for yourself. Share it with someone. And other people will get to know Jesus Christ, because, again, we want to reconcile as many as possible to God. Yeah, you've just
That's
listened
right.
to Abhishek speak. We hope this episode has blessed you. And every information on his latest release, the song, will be added in our description box. Also, information to his social media handles will be added as well. Connect with him. If you have more questions, theological questions, as you heard, you can get to him. You can just ask him questions that you just feel like, God, I still have questions on. But you can come in. I guess I hope that's okay, Abhishek. But probably someone wants to ask
of
any
course,
question.
Of course.
And yeah, so feel free.
We hope
you have been blessed. Take care.
As I wanted to remind you that the Kingdom Living Planner and Toner is going to be out by 15th of September this year, 2023. So the planner and the journal is for next year, 2024. And you can already start using the journal when you get it by 15th of September. So please inform your friends, inform your families and your socials that the Kingdom Living Planner and Journal are out. So thank you for purchasing. If you've already purchased a Kingdom Living Planner journal before, then we encourage you to go for it again this year. We have been up and doing in editing and improving the Kingdom Living Planner journal, and we pray that next year's edition is going to bless you in Jesus' name.